Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Jake Lyman, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. And we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic, who I apparently did not describe in great enough detail on X last night for his liking. Corey, welcome into the program, and I almost apologize to you.
You know, it's not that it was last night. It's every Sunday night. I look for the promo, and I see like some detailed, like, you know, such and such, such and such. Hey, the College World Series wrapped up. We'll talk about that. And then it says Corey Curtis at 8 every week. And then I see Emma gets an Emma at 9 or whatever it was. What time it was. And I go, oh, Emma, you're just like me. You get a time. You don't need promotion. You just need a time. You're that big. Wow. You've achieved Corey Curtis status, although she's, you know, obviously much bigger and better than I am. But, you know, it's okay. It's okay. I thought about just giving you one-word answers, but I won't do that.
We got all this stuff going on. We got all this stuff going on, and then there's Corey. Corey's coming on the show, too.
and we all know what that means. Implosion.
I will do better in the future. I'm trying to be as responsible as possible with my character limits on Twitter because I'm not paying for it. So there you go. That's my answer for you.
This is what you need to do. All right, get your Microsoft Word out and type out some great big long detailed thing and screen grab it and paste it.
That may be the way to go. You may have just taught me something new. This technology you speak of, what is that?
Unlimited characters with the screen grab.
So, Corey, let me start here with you. As we sit here today on June the 23rd.
They're winning the Super Bowl, Robbie. It's happening.
Well, that would answer my question. Ahead. Who is the who's the second best team in the AFC South right now?
You know, that is a really good question.
Thank you.
Because, I mean, ever since, like Peyton Manning left, it has just been the most craptastic quadrant of the NFL in the AFC possible. I mean, they pick high over and over and over again, but this division just can't have nice things and get it together. I mean, just can't. We see flashes from teams. You know, like 2 years ago, we thought, oh, the Texans are going to be something. And then last year, what were they? I mean, they were good enough to win the division, but the three of us may have also been good enough to win the division last year. You know what the simple answer to that question is? It's whichever of the three other teams, Jags, Titans, and Colts, get the best quarterback play.
Yep.
That is going to be it.
Which, by the way, is a massive question that I don't know the answer to.
Yes. No, it isn't. Look, what year is this for Trevor Lawrence?
Is this 5? I think it's 5 already, isn't it?
I think it's 5.
Yes.
So I have some concerns that he is what he is. Because he has not elevated at all. He has not elevated his team at all. And I don't know that he doesn't have the it factor. You know, he doesn't have the heart. He doesn't have the guts to drive teams to win games that maybe they shouldn't. You know, sure, he's got talent. I mean, he's first pick of the draft. There's no questioning that. But we've all seen the other factors, the factors you can't really touch that can really drive that position. And, you know, through 4 years, he hasn't shown that he's got it. So they're paying him a ton of money. He needs to and has to be better. And if he's not, they have to seriously think about what they're doing. It's a clown car pulling up to Indianapolis. I was in Bell Buckle, by the way, for the Moon Pie 5K Saturday.
Well,
and there
awesome.
there was a bus of clowns that pulled up, and I think I saw Anthony Richardson and Danny Jones get off.
Wow. Where do you think people hate you more, Jacksonville or Indianapolis?
I don't know. I think Jacksonville, but I don't know if they're smart enough to know it. So
there we go.
Corey, I want to look at the tight end room here for the Titans. We kind of know what Chig and Josh Wiley are, but from what you've seen just in the offseason and in minicamp a couple weeks ago, do you think Gunnar Helm has what it takes to take that tight end one job, if not by the beginning of the season, at some point in his rookie year?
You know, I really got to see. I know people are excited about Gunnar Helm because he went to Texas. He's a former wide receiver, but he's obviously way different than Chig. He's not as athletic, but he's much longer, big catch radius. He's much closer to a Josh Wiley type. But, you know, you look back at Gunnar Helm, he had one good year at Texas. I mean, it's not like he came in there and blew the doors off. Now, he got better, which is always important. Can you develop a guy? But I'm not sitting here. I know there's a lot of people who feel like he's just going to come in and take the one spot. I mean, he's going to have to prove it to me. He's a fourth-round pick. You know, do I think he can be a player? Sure. But I'm not sure, you know, he comes in and just shows us right off the bat that he's the guy. I still like David Martin Robinson. I think he's got a lot of ability. I think he's very athletic, very large. I'm probably wrong on this, and I understand it. I'm more excited to see what David Martin Robinson can do this year than I am Gunnar Helm. That's probably a hot take.
I like it.
But, you know, I think, and I could be wrong, maybe Gunnar Helm is Travis Kelce. But I see him more as Josh Wiley, but maybe a little bit better.
Corey, I'm not going to sit here and ask you for specific moves because that's impossible to predict as we sit here, you know, 2 weeks out. But in general, what do you want to see Barry Trotz and the Predators accomplish this summer that will signal to you that they've got a chance next year?
Wow. You know, I think the number one thing I want to see is I want to see the young guys get better. I mean, you know, Marchessault, Stamkos, Forsberg, those guys, O'Reilly, those guys are what they are, and they're not getting better at this point in their careers. They're only going to get worse. So I need to see the young guys deliver. It's got to be a huge bounce-back year for Luke Evangelista. Last year was horribly, horribly disappointing. I want to see Wood and Molendijk on the team this year playing, and I want to see Molendijk being a factor because I think he is that kind of player. I think they need a transition to a new younger core that's going to be ready to step in what, 1, 2, 3 years?
Yep.
And those guys have got to start to show themselves because if they don't, then Barry Trotz is going to have to become a professional shopper. You know, they've got a lot of young guys that I mean, and, you know, I give Barry credit. A lot of these young guys that they believed in, they've turned the page. I mean, they sent them packing. You know, Yusel Parsonen, you know, got dealt away. You know, Tommy Novak got dealt away, you know, because, you know, and I think that's one of the benefits of Barry coaching for so long is I think he has a pretty good idea of, you know, when guys are just guys and those, you know, it's like, I can't remember who he said it was. He's like, I can find a million third line guys. I need dudes. I need first and second line guys. And those are tougher to come by. And so when you find out your guy is a third or a fourth line guy and you need more, yeah, move on, try the next one. You know, the opportunity is there and somebody's got to step through because, you know, Roman Josi, you know, hopefully he's back and healthy, but he's not going to be here forever. And somebody's got to be ready to step in and take that mantle. And if I was a young stud in the Preds organization, I would be like, that is going to be me. I see the void there, and that is going to be me.
Corey, we had the conversation earlier in the show with the Thunder winning the championship last night. Oklahoma City now has a pro sports championship. Nashville doesn't. I'll ask you the question that has no good answer. Who's closer to winning a championship, the Preds or the Titans?
That is a difficult question because you're right. It has no difficult answer. And it is 110,000,000% predicated on Cam Ward. If Cam Ward is it, then the Titans are. If Cam Ward is not it, then the Predators are. But, you know, like I said, the Predators, until their young guys step up, I don't see them, you know, maybe they're an 8 seed or a 7 seed. I thought they were going to be the second or third best team in their division last year. And I don't think I was alone.
You were not.
And they were
no.
And they were horrible. But how do we expect them to be, you know, much better than a 7 or an 8 this year? I mean, can they make that dramatic of a turnaround with adding I mean, bringing back Eric Halla, I mean, that's not going to do it. I mean, I know those guys can play better than they did, and they have to, but it's hard to have that expectation, you know. And you know, the Titans are in a rebuild, and it's just whether or not they do it right. And you don't know. And the Preds are out on an island right now. You know, they tried something last year, and they're kind of stuck with it.
It's a great point. I'm totally with you. I mean, it all comes down to Ward. If Ward's that guy, then you've got a shot here in a few years. So we'll see what happens on that front.
He's not the hero we deserve, but he's the hero we've got.
Man, I need to watch that movie again.
Our whole city. Our city literally lies on his shoulders.
Yeah.
If not, we will be Jacksonville for 5 years.
There's two shots for Jacksonville. Man, that's a pretty good segment from you.
You know, Jacksonville does have beaches, and I love the ocean and the beaches.
I mean,
Jacksonville, I love beaches. So good for you.
Hey, you know, the Ponte Vedra, or however you say it out there, really nice. It's not really Jacksonville, but it kind of is, I guess.
Duval. So claim it.
When I think South Florida beaches, or South Georgia beaches, I think Jacksonville.
Corey, thank you, sir. It was worth all the promotion that I put into this, that you were coming on the show.
I knew I had to be extra saucy, so
you delivered.
There we go.
You absolutely delivered. We will talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, bye.
Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. He joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what Corey had to say coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I got some tickets to give away. A 4-pack of tickets to the FIFA Club World Cup match coming up at Geodis Park tomorrow, which people are very much looking forward to around here. Auckland City FC, Boca Juniors, 2 o'clock tomorrow. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a 4-pack of tickets to the FIFA Club World Cup match coming up at Geodis Park tomorrow. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ryan from Nolensville on the text line says, give me Nashville SC. The MLS counts, right? LOL. I say no. I say it doesn't.
Okay.
Here's my reasoning for it, and I'm not trying to, like, you know, bury Nashville SC or anything. But, and I've talked about this before, and I think my reasoning is sound. Jake, you can tell me if I'm an idiot. The NFL is the highest level of football in the world. We would all agree with that. The NHL is the highest level of hockey in the world. We would all agree with that. NFL's best football league, NHL's best hockey league. The MLS is not the highest level of soccer in the world. So, to me, it's not the same thing. Even though it is technically a professional sport here in Nashville,
right?
It is not the MLS is not equivalent to the NHL or the NFL, is what I'm saying. So does that make me a total?
No, I think
pompous person.
I think you're right, and I think Nashville would be happy if Nashville SC won the MLS championship or the MLS Cup.
I mean, look, they're certainly closer to winning their championship than the Titans and Predators are. There's no doubt about that.
But like. In terms of a parade, what would the turnout be for a Nashville SC championship versus Titans Preds? I think it would be
totally different.
10 times as many people.
Well, and again, I think that's part of why. Like, I think if you've never been to a Nashville SC game, I would encourage you to go.
Right.
They're very fun, and the stadium's awesome and all that. But I also, like, to me, there is a different – like, I don't know exactly where MLS ranks in terms of, like, how you would stack it. Soccer leagues
in the world.
From what I've gathered, people have it anywhere from like 7th to like 10th.
Yeah, because you could pretty much go through every European country and they're going to be better than the MLS.
Exactly.
Premier League, Bundesliga, so on and so forth. The Italian, Serie A. I know our friend Nick Frazier is a big fan of that. Like, I think you're right that minimum, it's the, like, at best, it's the 7th best league in the world.
Yeah.
And
so that, to me, is not the same thing. That's just me. There are people that disagree with that, and that's fine. But to me, that is not the, it's not the same thing.
No, I'm with you. I think it would be a cool story, but it wouldn't be nearly as celebrated as, or even close to as celebrated as, even like a Vandy baseball national championship, I think, would be a much bigger deal than if Nashville SC won the MLS Cup.
It was an interesting question you brought up with Corey about Gunnar Helm, because we've talked so much around here about wide receiver, and I still, like, I look at the Titans wide receiver group right now, and I think realize that unless Io Manor or DK turn out to just be absolute studs, which I don't anticipate, I think they might end up being good players. I don't know that you're going to be, like, you know, halfway building your offense around them this time 3 or 4 years from now. I still look at the long-term view of the Titans and think that Cam Ward's primary – if Cam Ward works out, his go-to target probably still is not on the team yet. Like, for right now, it's Ridley. But for the meat of Ward's career, it's not going to be Ridley. So my guess is that person is going to be drafted here in the next couple of years. We'll see. Maybe Io Manor, DK, or who knows, maybe Restrepo. Maybe come in and prove me wrong there. But that's the way I would guess. I'm looking at tight end right now, and boy, do they need Gunnar Helm to be a guy. And I'm not saying he's got to be George Kittle or anything like that. But right now, I look at Wiley and Chig, and they're just guys. Like, we just talked about that discussion with the Predators of just being guys. Like, those two are just guys, and they're not. There's nothing wrong with them. Like,
they're NFL level.
NFL level players. You can, I guess, get by with those guys being your starting tight ends, but there's more there. Like, there needs to be more from that position than they've gotten over the past few years here. And I don't know if Gunnar Helm's going to be that guy or not. I do, like, what Corey said at the end there is encouraging. Number one, he had more opportunity last year at Texas, which led to more production. But he did get a whole lot better. And you watch him play, and I think he's got some skills that you think could translate to the NFL level. It would be, you know, it's not something a lot of people are probably talking about heading into camp. It would be great if at some point in the year, Gunnar Helm, you look at, is unquestionably the number one tight end for the Titans.
Tight end is such an important position for a young quarterback. You look at what Delanie Walker was for Marcus Mariota in his first couple of years. Like, you need to have a good tight end for a young quarterback. But it's also a position you don't want to have to spend premium assets on. You don't want to have to take a tight end in the first round. You don't want to have to pay $15 million a year for a tight end or whatever the going rate would be for anybody who hits the market. So you really hope that Gunnar Helm can end up being that guy for the Titans, because there are a lot of other holes on the team at premium positions. You probably need another cornerback next year. You need another edge rusher. You need another wide receiver. If Gunnar Helm can become your starting tight end and be he doesn't have to be Travis Kelce, but just an average starting tight end in the NFL, that goes a long way for the Titans because, again, you don't have to invest more assets into that position. I'm not sure he's going to be that guy, but you like you said, we know that Chig and Wiley, they're just guys in the NFL. Like, I think we know their ceiling at this point. It's not going to get much better than what they are right now. Helm, at least we have the unknown of maybe he could end up being a guy who could be a top 15 tight end in the league, which would be a pleasant surprise, but I think he's got a better chance than Chig or Wiley do at this point.
615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. A couple more of your thoughts to get to on our text line. We will do that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. Is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Eli from Smyrna tells me not to sleep on Treylon Burks breaking out this year.
This is finally the year.
Eli, I must tell you, I will be fast asleep on Treylon Burks breaking out this year.
Me too.
I'm sleeping on Treylon Burks probably making the roster. So that's where I'm at with Treylon Burks. I will be stunned is probably not the right word, but I will be surprised if Treylon Burks is on the roster by the time camp.
Won't he start on PUP? You think what are the chances
of him
probably
start on PUP?
Yeah,
I mean,
probably.
Look, he was out, quote unquote, on the field doing some stuff. So maybe he's ready by the time camp comes around.
It was halfway into the season, right? When he tore his ACL, something like that.
Yeah. So I don't think that he is going to play. a whole lot for the Titans this year.
I view Burks the same way we were just talking about Chig and Wiley, of we know what Treylon Burks is at this point. Let's get some guys who maybe have some more room to grow, like a Bryce Oliver or Xavier Restrepo or somebody like that. If it comes down to Treylon Burks and one of those guys, I'd prefer the younger guy who at least has a little bit more upside than what Burks has shown so far.
Yeah, I mean, I will be stunned if there's any meaningful impact whatsoever from Treylon Burks for the Titans this year. So that would be kind of how I view that part of it. But, it's nice to bring this back up. Like, we had the discussion in the 6 o'clock hour about pro sports that have been around here since 98. And, I mean, you watch Oklahoma City win last night, and you're like, I saw Big Joe tweet about it. It's like, wow, Oklahoma City has a championship before Nashville does. And as you kind of go back through it, we've had a lot of different thoughts on this today on the text line about the approach that the Titans have taken since they've been here in Nashville, the approach that the Predators have taken, and there's been varying degrees of success. Like, I would say this. I would say the Predators have probably been the more consistent team, certainly in the regular season. Now, there's a couple things to that. Number one, it's easier to make the playoffs, in my opinion, in the NHL than it is in the NFL.
Right.
Just based strictly on math. Like, half the league makes the playoffs in the NHL.
Yes.
So, you've got a 50% shot right there based off that. I think once you get in the playoffs, the NHL playoffs, it's the hardest trophy in sports to win. I would say that. And you look at it like the Titans since they got here, you had immediate success when they became the Titans and went to the Super Bowl the first year. AFC title game in 02, AFC title game back in the 2019 season.
Yep.
So you've been to the title game three times. The Predators have had one deep playoff run in their history, right? They've been past the second round of the playoffs one time, and that's when they got to the Cup final in 2017. So in both instances, there has been, I guess, not as much playoff success, even beyond like the championship point of it, just strictly like getting there, being in the conference final. There hadn't been as much as that as you're looking for. Like, the Titans are also interesting because the Titans have also, on three separate occasions, been the number one overall seed with home playoff games and have blown it in those three games, right?
Yeah. I mean, at least since I've started following the Titans, I think, like, 19 was a great run, but there wasn't really a time outside of the week leading up to the AFC Championship game where you really felt like that was a Super Bowl contending team. But 08 and 2021, those were the biggest blown opportunities for the Titans. The Titans were, in 2021, you would have hosted the AFC Championship game the next week. The Bengals then went on the road and beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead.
Yeah.
Not saying anything's guaranteed, but if the Chiefs lost at home to the Bengals that year, you'd think maybe the Titans at home could have beaten the Chiefs and gone to the Super Bowl. So,
well, the Titans had already beaten the Chiefs that year, too.
Right.
At home, so
that was the year they blew them out, too,
I believe
at
so.
Home.
Yeah.
It was like 27-3.
Yeah.
So those are the biggest what-ifs. Like, I look at the 2019 AFC Championship game as that was a great run. They ran out of steam at the end. But the two best opportunities they've had in the last 20 years were 08 and 2021, and they blew it both times.
Well, and it's amazing, too, because I think going back to the moment that they both got here, you can make the argument that the best two teams, that like the best team the Predators have ever put on the ice and the best team the Titans have ever put on the field, neither one of them got out of their first playoff rounder game.
Didn't make it to the final,
like
either
the
one,
like
Super Bowl or final.
Like the Predators one is an argument because – like, you could say 06, 07 was their best team, which I kind of think it was. I mean, go back and look at that roster.
Or the President's
and
Trophy team.
They got beaten five games in the playoffs in the first round. Or the President's Trophy year. You could certainly go back and look at that. Like, I think it's a good debate between those two teams. But the President's Trophy year, I mean, they got past a really young Colorado team and then got beaten seven in the second round. And then for the Titans, I think, this is my opinion, I think unquestionably the Titans' best team was the year after they went to the Super Bowl in 2000.
Yep.
And they just rolled. I mean, they steamrolled everybody. And they had an unbelievable defense. And then Ray Lewis and Baltimore come in here and steal their heart away. And that was it. So, I mean, that situation has happened three times with the Titans that has not been in a championship game setting, which I think you can make the argument that those losses were more devastating than, like, the Chiefs loss in the AFC title game or the loss to the Raiders in the AFC title game in 02. Like,
yeah.
Those losses at home, I think, have been the most devastating one for the Titans.
I think so, too. The 2019 game, I think when the Titans went up 17-7 in that game, I think there was you started to believe
like, yeah.
Oh, they could do this, because the Chiefs went down and answered after the Titans went up 10-0, and then Tannehill marched them right back down the field for another touchdown.
But I thought they were going to do it.
The run down the run down the sideline from Mahomes will always be the moment that game kind of,
and that's when I thought
flipped.
They were screwed. It turns out they were.
So I look at that team and say, I don't think they were nearly as talented as some of the other teams they've put out there. I mean, that defense for the Titans was putting out – was that the team – it's not a – not Parrish Cox, but who was the other 49ers cornerback? The guy who got trucked by Mahomes on that play.
Why am I forgetting his
name? I'm blanking on his name, too.
I'll figure it out in a second.
You had Kamalai Correa rushing off the edge as one of your starting pass rushers. Like, that team was not nearly as talented. It was – Derrick Henry being in his prime, and Ryan Tannehill was playing the best football of his career. That was basically it. But that 2021 team, you had gotten Derrick Henry back from injury. Even though Julio Jones wasn't Julio Jones of Atlanta, like, he was your number two wide receiver. That's a pretty good number two wide receiver to have at that point. Their defense was better. It just, you know, the Titans have to find a way to win that game at home as the number one overall seed. Yeah. And you're right, they're 0-3 in those opportunities.
Well, and the point is, like, as you go back through the history of it, there has been very limited postseason success on the Predators side of it. You know, the Titans have had more, I guess, postseason success. Now, it's completely different because the Titans are talking about a one-game thing, and it's a playoff series in the NHL.
Yeah.
It's very hard to – it's hard to compare the two straight up. Like, they're just different things. So I think you got to understand that part of it too. But the point is, like, you look back through all of this and you look at the people that have been around, that have been Titans fans from the moment they got here, or Predators fans from the moment they got here, and they're just starving. Like, they're starving to win and to have some of that postseason success and to get back there. And it wasn't that long ago. Like, I think back to 2019, you had the Titans making their run with Vrabel and all that was going on. I mean, the Predators still had, you know, it's funny to think about it now, but they made the big move to go get Duchesne that summer, and it was like, man, well, these guys are like in an arms race right now. Who's going to win? And it just didn't work out for either one of them. It didn't pay off. Like, there are Titans fans that will never get over that loss to the Bengals, or the opportunity blown there.
Yep.
And it makes you wonder, like, when is the time coming for this city and these fan bases? And a lot of these people are crossovers, right? Like, they're Titans fans and Preds fans. When is that time coming where they're going to punch down the door and break through?
Yeah, Justin from Greenbrier on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, says, this is a really depressing topic. How bad has your professional teams lost, and how far away are they from ever getting back to championship caliber? That's kind of the whole conversation here is from – if you cross over Preds and Titans from 2017 to 2021, there was a really good feeling in this city that somebody was going to win a championship. Like, both teams were competitive. It felt like you're right there on the doorstep. And now the teams have gone back to the cellar of their leagues. And it's like, all right, how long is it going to take for these teams to get back to the doorstep again? And it is tough. It is a depressing topic, but hopefully something changes.
Where they're at, man.
Was it Tremaine Brock?
It is
Tremaine Brock, by the way. Yeah, okay. Still, he texted me.
Yeah.
Tremaine Brock.
Drew on our text line added that too. Yes, Tremaine Brock.
That's a tough one to think back on.
Yeah. I was thinking Parrish Cox because I just remember he was an atrocious former cornerback from the – or former 49ers cornerback too.
615-737-1025, our phone number. What do Preds fans want to see the Preds do over the next couple weeks here to add to their team? A lot of your thoughts on that early in the show. We'll get back into some of that coming up next. We've had people asking about the draft. We are going to get into the draft a little bit later as the week goes on, so make sure you're tuned in for that. But I'll have my draft thoughts a little bit later this week and who I think the Predators are going to end up taking. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie Stanley, Jake Lyman, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Jake, going to be an interesting week around here. The NHL draft coming up later this week. And as I said last segment, we're going to get into the draft a little bit more as the week goes on. But beyond just the draft part of it, you've got free agency coming up. You've got trades that I think a lot of people league-wide are expecting to happen over the next couple of weeks here. Now, whether or not the Predators will be involved in that, we'll see. You know, there's the idea out there that there could be some offer sheets thrown out there this summer for restricted free agents as well. So all of that is in the backdrop of a Predators season that went totally off the rails from the beginning. And now you're sitting here if you're Barry Trotz. And I said it earlier and I keep coming back to it. I don't know specifically what they're going to do. I know that they do have some cap space. I know that they've got some options in terms of the draft assets and some of the prospects that they've got. You know, they're just more prepared to be able to execute on a trade if a situation arises than they were probably 3-4 years ago. They've done a decent job of kind of restocking the cupboard there. Certainly with their draft picks and even with their prospects, they're in better shape there. So now it's just, does something materialize over the next couple of weeks where Barry Trotz can take advantage of it? I mean, that's what it comes down to. Is there a move out there to be made this offseason? And if not, is there any sort of path where they're back to being a good team next year?
Yeah, you'd think Barry's looking, right? Like, he has a big move up his sleeve. It's just about finding the right partner, because as we look through the free agents, there wasn't really anybody who stood out there in terms of can come in here and really change this team. But who knows? Maybe there's a draft day trade that could materialize if they do want to move up in the draft. I know that's probably unlikely, but not impossible. But I would assume Barry is probably putting out feelers for a lot of different players, and if he can find something that makes sense, that's probably the most likely outcome in terms of a big move that could be made for the Preds, is that it comes in the trade market.
Well, and it's going to be interesting when we get through all this and, you know, training camp rolls around and you start looking at the team that the Predators have on paper and, you know, prognosticating as to what they could be. It's going to be interesting to look back on the approach from Barry Trotz this offseason and determine what exactly it is. Because I do think there are some fans out there that just say, well, there's not a whole lot out there this summer and they should just bring up more of the young guys and see if some of the other veteran players that are already here just naturally play better. And that may be the way that things pan out. And I keep going back to some comments that Stamkos made at the end of the year about not really being all that interested in quote-unquote rebuilding or not being competitive. And the fact that, you know, he talked about Barry Trotz had laid out a plan and had talked to them about what he wants to get done and how they're going to get back in contention this offseason. So, I mean, I don't think that's just lip service from Barry Trotz to the players. We'll see. It's one thing to have the plan. It's another thing to be able to execute the plan, and that's the challenging part. And we're moving into the time of year where it's time to do that, and we'll see what Barry Trotz is able to do. But, you know, I would not discount the possibility of Barry Trotz making a bold move here, probably via trade. Like, I don't think it's coming via free agency. Probably via trade over the next couple of weeks, and we'll see exactly what all that looks like and what's involved with that. But I just keep coming back to that. If you're going to change the math all that much with next year's team, yeah, you got to get better coaching. Yeah, you got to get better play from your veteran guys. All that's important, and all that's going to have to happen. I also think it's probably going to take a big move or two to really swing things the other way from somebody that's not currently in your organization.
I agree. I don't think you can just run it back and hope that all of the problems are going to be fixed from last year. But I think also Barry maybe has learned from last season as well. He said when they made all the big moves that in fantasy hockey, they'd be great. Yep. Like, on paper, this looked great. It didn't pan out when they actually got on the ice. So maybe there's a way to balance that out this year. And who knows? Maybe it's not going to be the splashiest move, but if he can make the right moves to add to the core that they have already, maybe this team without the big expectations that they had last year can find their way back to being a playoff team, and who knows what happens once you get there.
Yeah, maybe that's part of it. Got one texter that says, nothing makes sense to Barry. Giving up an asset for a 34-year-old, referring to Eric Holla, that had 21 points last year is very dumb. Let's add more veterans because that worked out so well. I have absolutely zero faith in Trotz being able to pull off a big trade that works in the favor of Nashville. GMs are fully taking advantage of him being green as an executive. I don't know. We'll see what that happens. I mean, one thing that is worth considering, the Predators are on a run right now of moves that have just not worked out well. And it's beyond just the Stamkos, Marchessault, Shea part of it. I mean, look, they need a right-handed shot defenseman right now, and they let two of them go last year in Fabreau and Carrier. Now, if you watch, sometimes I think we over-exaggerate like exactly how good those guys were. But there's no doubt right now, based on their roster, they could use at least one of those guys with how things are right now. So, you know, they're on a bad run of moves that they've made. Can Barry Trotz flip that this offseason and start to get things moving back your direction? And then, you know, that's beyond even just the draft pick. I mean, look, the most important part of this offseason is whoever they pick at number five needs to be a franchise player. You need to be getting a franchise-level guy at number five. That's how you reset this thing.
And the lottery didn't work out the way you hoped for, but you're still picking in the top five, which is rare for this franchise. You usually don't pick this high. And I know that the player you're getting at the fifth pick isn't going to be as immediate of an impact player as somebody you'd get with the first pick, obviously.
Yep.
But you can still get somebody who, if it's a James Higgins or somebody of that tier, maybe they're not going to help your team this year, but they could be that franchise player in 2-3 years down the road that ends up setting this team up to get back to the Stanley Cup playoffs and a chance to make a run.
Oklahoma City wins the title last night, 103-91, the final score. Their first championship since moving from Seattle to Oklahoma City. Jake, it was a good game for a while. Indiana lost Halliburton early, which was rough, and we got to see that replay of basically the Achilles popping, which was also rough. I thought Indiana later in the first half just did an unbelievable job of fighting through it and hanging around. And then about halfway through the third quarter, Oklahoma City started to blow it open, and that was all she wrote after that. But big fight by the Pacers. That's about as tough of a scenario, though. Like, when you really think about it, you lost in Game 7 of a championship series, which is enough of a gut punch by itself. And on top of that, your best player hurt his Achilles and is probably going to miss the majority of next year. That's a tough double whammy there for
Yes.
Pacers fans.
I'm sure it was not a fun wake-up for Pacers fans this morning, where you probably hope it was a nightmare and then realize that it was real. But they did put up a fight. The Pacers did everything they could. The Thunder were just a better team. And, again, there's always going to be the what-if of if Halliburton was healthy, could they have won that game? I don't know. Overall, kind of a forgettable Game 7 in terms of the Game 7s we've seen over the last 25 years in the NBA.
It was certainly not 2016 Cavs Warriors.
I think the only thing that is going to be really memorable is going to be the Halliburton injury. And if the Thunder do end up becoming a quote-unquote dynasty that has been talked about, then I'm sure we will remember this as the first of many for the Thunder. But I think the most memorable thing from last night's game for sure has to be Halliburton going down.
And Thunder are very young. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, very, very good. Fun to watch him play, and we'll see if they just continue to kind of stockpile their young assets. They got a lot of draft picks still. I mean, Sam, we talk about general managers. That guy's done a pretty good job.
Sam Presti's at the top right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that guy's done a pretty good job. So we'll see what that means for the Thunder. And I said earlier, that's a beautiful part about like the NBA and the NHL when their championships wrap up is – the meat of their offseason is like immediately.
Yes.
And there's not a whole lot of waiting around.
Yeah, the NBA draft is Wednesday.
Yeah. Not a whole lot of waiting that happens on that front. That does it for us today. Hope everybody has a great rest of their Monday. We will be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chasing Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.